Sure. Yeah. We both have F5, pre-war F5s, pre-Cold War, pre-Korean War, and pre-World War II.
All them.
Sam's, I believe, is 37?
Yes.
1937 F5, which is a very rare mandolin. And he's had it for a number of years. I believe it's been refinished.
22 years. Yeah, I got this in 1973. It belonged to Norman Blake before I had it. And it's kind of thing, I heard him, we were opening the band Revival, we were opening the show for John Hartford, Norman Blake, and in New York City, and I walked in the club, and I could hear this mandolin all the way at the entrance, and the PA wasn't on yet, and it was, so it's one of those, on your knees, if you ever sell it, please, you know, sell it to me. Well, he didn't, but but at one point,
he sold it.
Nah, he made a trade with Tut Taylor for another instrument. Tut called me, yeah, and I got it that time. And
you mean he went and sold it to Tut after he promised it to you?
Well, he told Tut I wanted it.
Hey man, that ain't right.
I know.
Sure, but it kind of
that sounds like a conspiracy to me.
Sure, can you say conspiracy?
Yeah.
Sure. I think it was.
Oh, sure.
But they played nice later.
Yes, but before Norman got rid of this, he and John Hartford one night decided to scrape all the original finish off, and and they did, and the original finish was so thick you couldn't see the grain of the wood in the neck on this thing, so it had a ton of finish on it during the period that Gibson made this. So this finish was put on by Tut Taylor in 1973. It's varnish, not lacquer. And I'm not really as hard as it looks like on a mandolin, but it's been used with love, shall we say. David?
Yeah, this one I'm using with love.
Wait a minute. Do you smell something there? Yeah. It's love.
Yeah, it's love.
It's love. I feel
love
it everywhere
smells.
In this room.
Love. Oh. Anyhow, this
is love.
This is a 1922 Gibson F5 signed by that crazy guy who used to work at the Gibson factory and sign labels, Lloyd Lohr. And I got this about 5 years ago from the family of the original owner, who whose picture was on the cover of the October 1922 issue of Crescendo magazine. You remember that issue. Willa Dahl. And they got hold of me and offered me this mandolin, and sounded pretty darn good. And I've been playing it ever since. It was like brand new, and I've put a few little scars in it, but you know, what the heck, you know. It's the price you pay.
These are old Gibsons, but we both own other mandolins that aren't, you know, old Gibsons.
Yeah, I got one right here.
Just happen to have one. And but that's a great thing about mandolins these days. You don't have to, not only are they hard to find, very expensive, you don't have to get an old Gibson now to have a good
sounding
mandolin.
You don't have to have just one either.
Hey!
Well, this one isn't an oval hull, but this is an A style.
The difference is Bill Monroe would just don't play a round hole, and that's the difference. Well, for me, I mean, the F hole, I mean, it's like an F hole guitar. It's a less sustain, a sharper attack, better for closed chords, and we all wanted to play one because Bill Monroe played one.
I think you're better on microphones.
Yeah.
It's a more what I would call contained sound. The oval hole is more open, and actually has got they're deeper and
deeper, more sustain.
Yeah, but they're
more.
It's harder to control the tone of them. And, of course, they're cheaper, so it makes collecting them less worthwhile.
We play these because Bill Monroe played one.
Right. And because we got good deals on them.
Yeah.
This is a brand new A-style mandolin. It's actually an A5 with F-holes. Made by Steve Gilchrist from Australia. The blonde. Basically, you just go for a sound that, or a feel that you like. The late, great Jethro Burns, one of our big inspirations, and he always went for playability. You know, if it, he wanted the mandolin that played the easiest.
He said, liked a brand
heck,
new mandolin.
Heck, if they don't sound good, I'll just put a pickup on it.
I don't change my strings. I turn up the treble. I use black diamond because they're cheap.
Right, you know, it's just a lot of different ways to go.
But it really, I mean, and as far as, you know, when you're playing, I mean, when you find that instrument that it just feels like jumping into a hot tub of water, it feels so good. I mean, that's when you find one. And it is playability as much as anything. I mean, like my mandolin, the necks on our two F5s are nothing alike. And this one's pretty wide as Gibson necks go. So I got this one, and I got used to that, so now that's what I prefer. But it really is, you know, you get glued into instruments, and you really do start making your style around certain instruments sometimes. My favorite song. I like Neil Skinner Blues by Bill Monroe about as well as anything in the world. Oh, I can't sing it. No. But, I mean, you know, you just right off the bat. I don't know. What's yours? Sally Gooden? Fair enough.
Might be my favorite song too, because when I brought Monroe Grisman home from the hospital, that's the first thing I played him.
His son.
Now he's a rock Monroe. And roller, you know.
He's got a good name, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, here.
Oh, what's your other son's name, Dave?
Samson.
I tell people he's named after me. Who's to know?
My dad was named Sam.
Exactly.
But hey,
I know he always brings up that was my
dad. I'd be son named after you, Sammy. You can go on.
Should we
think that?
Should we promo our new album we're gonna make?
Yeah, we got a new album we're planning. It's gonna be called Sam and Dave. Hold on, we're strumming. You like that? Would you buy one?
But it's going to be a long planning stage.
Yeah, we've been planning it for about 15 years.
It's in the planning stages right now.
Let's see. We don't have one.
Figured somebody was doing that already.
Yeah, this is a one I'm going to just play some rhythm for Sam. You know, he does a wonderful job. Maybe you could do Grey Eagle in a reggae version. Nah, just do Grey Eagle.